was a fisherman. And Jesus said, from this point on, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. And there's something about catching fish. When you get a good one on there, it's fun. I caught the only fish I ever mounted was about a 36-pound striper, and it was fun. And I still remember that feeling. But that pales in comparison to every time I've been able to lead somebody to the Lord. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but I know in a crowd this size, there's many of you that, for whatever reason, nerves, bashfulness, whatever reason, if you're honest in your heart, you've never taken the Word of God and led somebody to the Lord. And I promise you, you can do it. And nobody has ever been able to perfect anything by just doing it one time. No, you learn to do it by doing it. And if you ever lead somebody, give the gospel to somebody, and you see God reach down and radically save them and change their life, you will be hooked. And there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it to know that somebody was headed for hell and you had a small part in getting them the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation, and now they're headed for heaven. There's nothing like that. There's nothing on earth that compares to that. And why we do so little of it is really beyond me, and we should be busy about it. It's so important. It's being Missions Month, but it's so important that as Jesus was leaving for heaven, he could have chosen any subject or left any last words. And the one thing that he focused and lasered in on and said, if you forget everything I've ever told you, remember this. And that's when he gave the Great Commission to go out and preach the gospel to the whole world. And that is our responsibility. Whether we like it, whether we're bashful, he didn't say those of you who's flamboyant and who's good at speaking. No, it's a command. It's not optional. He's commanded us to preach the gospel. And you say, well, I'm not a preacher. In that sense of the terminology, that's every believer. And just be an eyewitness. That's all you are. Let me ask you this. If you got a letter in the mail tomorrow, you go out to the mailbox, Jerry, and you see that and you think you've hit the lottery, so you hurrying up and you open that thing excited only to find out you had witnessed a wreck, and you got to go in and you was an eyewitness, and you got to go in and tell them what you saw. Well, anybody in their right mind could do that because you were there. You saw, and you can make a difference. And all sharing your faith is, and giving the God, it's just simply put, this is as simple as it can be put. You telling somebody how you met the Lord and what the Lord did for you when he saved you. Just tell them what you once was, you are no longer. And the reason is because a man named Jesus came to me and rescued me and received me and forgave me. And you can do it. You can absolutely do it. And I'll leave you with this verse, and we're going to get into the scripture. The next time that thought pops up in your mind, I can't, my mama used to always say, can't never could. But that's, to say that you can't do something is a lie. You're deceiving yourself, because the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So don't limit the Lord. And we have our limitations. Trust me, I have my limitations. But in Christ, Jesus said, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. And through, we can tap into that power and do anything. And he's never called us to do anything that he did not empower us to do. And so we can do it, and we need to be busy about it. All right, let's take our Bibles this evening and go back to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14. I'm not going to reread all the scripture we read this morning, but I'm going to just hit them. And I tell you what, just keep your Bible open. I'm preaching on the subject, I've fallen. But I can get up. Not I've fallen and I can't get up, but I've fallen and I can get up. And I believe every child of God will fall, will fail. But everyone that falls and everyone that fails can rise again. The Bible said a just man falleth seven times, but riseth again. And you may fail, and I may fail, but you are not a failure until you quit getting up. And so let's look at this tonight. And Matthew chapter 14, verse number 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Now, we're not going to continue reading all the scripture, but I do want you to turn to just a page or two over Matthew chapter 16. And I'll just hit the high mark, verse 22, Matthew 16, 22. And this is where Jesus is telling his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer and be killed and then raised again the third day. And then in verse 22, the Bible said, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Now, go just another page or two over and to Matthew 17. This is where Jesus, after 6 days, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into the mountain apart, and he was transfigured, the Mount of Transfiguration. But drop down, and we'll just read the statement that Peter made, verse 4. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. Now that don't sound all that bad. And the reason we're reading, I read this morning and we're reading again tonight, is this progression of verses to where Peter habitually failed. Over and over again, he failed, and he failed. Here he is, handpicked by the Lord, the Lord Jesus, I mean, handpicked him, called him, saved him, said, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. And after all this 3.5 years, they journeyed and traveled together. Here they are, and they go up onto the Mount of Transfiguration, and there the Lord Jesus is transfigured. The glow of Almighty God was upon him, and all Peter had to say was, boy, it's sure good to be here. We need to build three tent. We need to build three, and one for you, Jesus, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. And what he's, in essence, what he's doing is equating Jesus to Moses and Elias. And God the Father would have no part in that. There is none that equals the Lord Jesus. Isaiah said it over and over. To whom could we compare him to? There's none like him. Brother Brown, Brother Larry Brown, one of the most famous messages he ever preached was, "Ain't nobody like him." And as Peter said, let's erect these tabernacles. Let's one for you, Jesus, and one for you, Moses, and one for you. God the Father stepped in and spoke out audibly. Very rarely did that happen, but this was one of those times, and he spoke up in verse 5. And while he yet spake, this being Peter still speaking, God the Father interrupted him and shut him down and shut him up. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this, almost ignoring Moses and Elias. And God the Father said, this one right here is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And I ain't got time tonight to go into it, but if you study and understand where some of these men were. Hey, listen. Moses was looked at as a giant of the faith. Moses was looked at, I mean, the Mosaic Law and all that Moses did. These men were well aware of how great of a pioneer of the faith that Moses was. But God the Father said, you will not compare Moses to my Son. This is my beloved Son, the only begotten of the Father, and there's none like him. And so once again, Peter failed. He opened his mouth and said things he never should have said. And I can identify. I'm married. And my wife is quick to let me know when I have opened my mouth and said things I ought not. And don't look at me like you, it ain't never happened to you. We all, from time to time, have a mouth problem. Amen. And it's really a heart problem, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Amen. All right, go to Matthew chapter 26 quickly. Matthew chapter 26. And this is where we'll stay for the most of the remainder. Matthew chapter 26, if you're there, say amen. Verse 33, Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Let me pause and just say this. Please be careful before you say never. Some of the greatest tragedies I've ever had in my life came hours after I said I would never do that. Peter said, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, Yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. And you know, I've never saw that, and I'm sure most of you have. But everybody knows that Peter denied the Lord. I mean, every preacher's preached on before the cock crows thrice, you're going to deny me thrice. But it wasn't just Peter. Did you see the last phrase in that verse? Likewise also said the disciples. It wasn't just Peter. And I'm here to tell you, please don't feel like you're the only failure in the room. You are in the majority if you failed the Lord today. Matter of fact, you are in the whole, because every one of us have failed the Lord today. I'm the pastor of the church, and I'll tell you publicly, I failed the Lord today. I failed the Lord in this room. I had to go and apologize to somebody before the service started this evening. We're imperfect beings. And that's the whole point of this message, is to highlight the fact that, and listen, we shouldn't strive to fail, and you don't have to. It just happens. You don't have to try real hard at all to fall and fail the Lord. You have to try really hard not to. But I believe with all my heart, God allowed all this information about Peter and the life of Peter to be penned and put in the Word of God, so failures like me and you who fall short, not once but multiple times, would be encouraged to know that there is hope and there is help and there is a path for you. There's a path for service for you. God has a plan. God wants to use you, as imperfect as you are. God wants to use. Hey, listen, I'm the last person. I could take you to places and go back in history to times in my life, and I'd be the last human being on planet Earth you'd ever dream God would use. And I believed it too. But here I am, and I'm still imperfect, and I still fail the Lord, and I still fall short way more than I want. But listen, God's holy, God's just, God's righteous, but we cannot fathom and comprehend the goodness and the graciousness of God. And we really don't understand. Our minds cannot comprehend how good He really is, that He would take sinful flesh and robe us in righteousness. And I'm not giving any of us a license to sin. Brother Jack, you know me better. But when God sees me, He sees through His Son. And the blood hides and has covered my sin. Past, present, and future. And therefore, when God sees me, He sees me just as He sees His only begotten Son. And you ought to say amen to that. That ain't a license to sin. That's a license not to sin, that God would be so good and so gracious that He took His Son's righteousness and imputed it into your account and into mine. Drop down to verse 51. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then Jesus said unto him, Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into this his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and He shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? There again. Can anybody identify with Peter? Spout off the lip. I hope it stays with just spouting off at the lip. I hope none of you bring your sword and come out and whack my ear off next time you get hot-headed. But Peter, again, failed miserably. And you would think, I mean, we've done read four or five examples and historical facts in the life of Peter that God chose to make public for all the world to see. At least four or five failures. And ain't you glad with God it ain't three strikes and you're out? My goodness. Verse 69. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and the damsel came to him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that they that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them. For thy speech bereath thee. Listen. Then began he to curse and swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Can I say this before? I'm preaching on the subject. I've fallen, but I can get up. If you're saved and you fail the Lord, if you're saved and you fall, it will break your heart. It will bother you. If you can sin and get away with it and get by with it and nothing happens, and you just go on sinning. That is not the salvation that the Bible speaks of. There's a reason. There is an absolute reason that Jesus told Peter, you're going to deny me, and you're going to do it before the cock crows thrice. And when he denied and cussed and swore and said, I don't know the blankety blank man, and immediately the cock crew. His heart broke because his sin was exposed, not for the world to see, but in his own heart. He knew he had broken the heart of the one who saved him. And listen, if you're saved, it ain't getting caught that bothers you so bad. It's the fact that you sinned and transgressed against the one who bled for you. That you denied and that you failed the one who hung on bloody Calvary for you. And it should make you and me bitter at sin and broken in our heart that we failed the Lord. Amen. One of the best ways to know if you're saved or not. I know several struggle with their salvation. And I'm not here to confuse you, but one of the greatest ways to know if you're saved is just look and see if you can sin and get by with it. Because if you can sin and get by with it, and you call yourself a Christian, you are a bastard and not a son. You are an illegitimate child. And God the Father is not your father. You are of your father, the devil. Amen. John 21 is where Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. He give up. He was convinced he had failed the Lord. Jesus had died And he had denied him. And as I preached on this several months ago, but how in the court, I was preaching on the cross and in the courtroom, how they betrayed Jesus and how Judas came and with the lanterns and the staves and they took him by night and they broke all the laws and they lied on him and they convinced and they there in the courtyard about the size of this sanctuary and as on one side of the courtyard, there Jesus was shackled and being taken into a false trial and a sham trial that he would be accused falsely of. And in that same courtyard was the rooster that would crow, and Jesus and Simon Peter locked eyeballs. When the cock crew, I'm sure Jesus turned and looked, and Peter turned to see that his Lord had been taken. And rather than Peter praying and standing and with Jesus, not only did he not stand with and for Jesus, he denied and cussed him. And he failed the Lord. Now that'd be a dark, dismal picture if that's all the Word of God had to tell us. But I didn't come tonight to preach on I've fallen and I can't get up. But that's how Peter felt. I mean, Jesus knew. Please hear me. Jesus knew that Peter was broken over his sin. Jesus knew the heartbreak of Peter. Jesus knew. And it's in the Word of God. And I won't take time to tell you to turn and read it to you, but I'll just paraphrase. But do you remember when Jesus come back after he had went and set captive free, and he had went to heaven and applied the blood on the mercy seat, and he come back, and as he walked on this planet earth for 40 days, listen, he was seen over 500 brethren, and when he went and called, he said, go tell the disciples and Peter. Jesus knew that Peter thought he had failed so bad that he was unusable, that he had fallen so often and so much that surely God was finished with him, and surely God had washed his hands, and he had fallen, and there was no hope of even trying to get up. And he said, boys, I go fishing. I'm going back to my old stomping ground. I've tried living for the Lord. I've tried being a Christian for 3.5 years. I've tried. And I've fallen and I've failed and I've made a mess out of it. And here my whole testimony is in shatters. And everybody knows that I denied and cussed the God that I said I loved. There's no hope and there's no future for me. And that's where Peter is. You ever felt that way? I'll tell you, I have. And you talking about feeling like a low-down, dirty dog and feeling hopeless and helpless and heartbroken. And that's where he is. Keep in mind, this is after, when he said, I go fishing, this is after the resurrection, after Jesus had appeared and revealed himself to them. Simon Peter didn't say to them, I'm going to witness and teach and preach about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. No, Simon Peter said, I'm done preaching. I go fishing. I'm going back to how life used to be before I met Jesus. Can I say, we better be careful what we say and who we say it in front of, because people are watching. Children are watching. And you may be having a bad day, and so may I. And I don't care if it's at home, in the safety of your home, and it's between a husband and a wife and a mama and a daddy, when we let our guard down. But I've been right in the middle of a deep, hurtful, hard argument with my wife. And us disagreeing, at polar opposite ends. and the Lord, the Holy Spirit of God, remind me, you have children that you are training right now that this is what being a Christian is. Oh, we think about sin and we think about our influence on people out in the world, but hey, listen, you don't have to get out in the world to have influence. As a matter of fact, those little ones that are under your wings are the ones you should and the ones that I should be most concerned about. Because if I spend my life preaching that book and spend my life preaching the gospel and win the world and lose my children, I will have failed. You notice when he said, I go a fishing, the Bible said, they say unto him, we also go with thee. Whether you want it to be so or not, you are taking somebody with you. Did you hear that? I want to repeat that. I felt the Lord on that statement. If you're going to hell, you're taking somebody with you. If you're going to heaven, you're taking somebody with you. Amen. If you're living like the devil, you're taking somebody with you. If you're poor mouthing and running down your church, you're taking somebody with you. Are you listening? So I don't believe that. We just read it. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. Everyone is watching someone. Everyone. Listen. My goodness. Think about this. I'm talking about failure. Failure. What? How many of you have heard of Babe Ruth? Babe Ruth. What if Babe Ruth quit playing baseball because he failed at hitting the ball? Because he struck out way more than he hit home runs. He's known as one of the greatest players, but he's also known as one who struck out more than anybody else. He holds the record for strikeouts, while at the same time held the record for home runs. Babe Ruth hit 714 home runs, but he struck out 1,330 times. With his reputation as the king of home runs came the title, the king of strikeouts. What if he'd have quit because he failed? Would have never known of a man named Babe Ruth. What if Michael Jordan quit after coming out of retirement and wasn't even close to the shooter that he was when he quit practicing and began to live life and was nowhere near in physical condition he was when he retired, and he knew the risk involved in returning to the game, but rather than quitting, he got back up, put on his uniform, worked harder than he had ever worked before because he knew that that's what was required if he was to make a comeback. He retired having three rings, three championship rings, having more MVP awards, having more scoring titles than anybody in the league. At the top of his game. I remember the day he retired. I loved watching him play. And some of you young people, LeBron ain't got nothing on Jordan. I'll just tell you that. Keep dreaming, friend. Different galaxies. He worked harder. He shot harder. He run harder. And he made a comeback. Just as vividly as I remember him standing at the podium and announcing his retirement, I remember when he popped that jacket off and he had a number 45 on rather than a number 23 because they'd retired. And he announced he was coming back to play. What if he had said, I can't do this no more. I've already retired. I can't get... But you know what? His greatest days were ahead of him. Now, the statistics that once were here are now here. Now, he has so many rings, he can't even put them all on the same hand. Now, rather than having a three-peat with three championship rings in a row, now he's got six, two three-peats in a row. And listen, I believe he'll go down as the greatest ever because he didn't just do it one time. He was willing to get back up at his age and make the comeback of a lifetime. I listened to an interview of Michael Jordan, and they say people ask me all the time, how's it feel to hit the game-winning shot? Do you remember how many game-winning shots you've hit? And he said, I ain't got a clue how many game-winning shots I've made, but I know every shot that I had an opportunity to win and missed. What about the greatest comeback in golf history? You ever heard of a man named Tiger Woods? Tiger Woods, in my opinion, is the greatest golfer of all time, but he had some major failures. Many were his own making, his own fault. Scandals, adultery, drunk driving, driving under the influence of drugs. But whether his fault or not, whether it was moral failures and the many things I just read, back surgeries, car wrecks that nearly killed him and left him in a terrible condition, and most thought that Tiger may never walk again, much less play again. With all that happened in his life, he thought he would never play again, but he has already played several tournaments this year, including majors. With all the epic failures in his life, it would have been real easy to go ahead and retire, step off the public scene, but he made up his mind he would put the work and effort in, and that his failures would not define him. He went through the surgeries, he went through the rehab, and he faced his problems and put in the almost unbearable and hard, painful work in order to make the comeback of the ages. My point in saying all of this is to help all of us know that if a lost man, hear me, that if a lost man can face his failures and seek and find forgiveness from his wife, his children, the public at large, then like Simon Peter, we too can face our failures and rebound and come back from anything, anywhere, with anybody, especially with the Lord, who is rich in mercy and full of grace, who's patient and long-suffering. And by the way, we're His children, and He loves us, and He wants what's best for us, and He will forgive you, and you ain't finished. One thing about Peter, my goodness, that's the introduction. Really, so you'll hear more of this. But one thing about Peter, and I'll close with this. One thing I admire and love about Peter, he failed a lot. Wouldn't you agree? He got in trouble a lot. He did stupid things. He said stuff he shouldn't have said. I mean, how many of you heard a voice from heaven audibly saying, "This is God the Father. Do not speak about my son like that." I've messed up before, Brother Ned, but God ain't never, I ain't never messed up so bad that God spoke out loud to me and said, stop. But one thing I admire about Peter, though he failed the Lord, he never quit. Never. And I just want to close the service by saying this and encouraging you. Please hear me. If you're on the bottom and you think nobody knows, and trust me, everybody in this room needs to hear what I'm about to say. Everybody in the world needs to hear what I'm about to say. We all are in this sanctuary and in this service, and we got our nice clothes on, and we know how to do church. But if the lights were turned on, and God was to expose the pain and the heartache and the epic failures that are going on in this room. I'm talking about the real lives that are being lived, not that we portray. I'm talking about what's really going on down at the house. That you don't want nobody to know, that I don't want nobody. I'm talking about how bad it really is. And you know where you are. And I know where I am. And the accuser of the brethren, the liar, the father of lies, the devil who is out to kill, steal, and destroy you and me is doing everything in his power. After he lured you into taking the bait, now he's pointing that long, bony finger and saying, you're not worth it. God's done with you. You might as well throw the towel in. There's no way out. You'll never get up. You'll never survive after this. You might as well quit. Peter, I'm sure, when he heard the cock crow and he looked over and saw Jesus headed to Calvary, already probably beaten, bloodied, and as a tear dripped down the Savior's face, Peter said, I failed him. And I may fail him again tomorrow, but I'm not quitting. I will follow after him. I'll be as faithful as I can be. And if I trip up and slip up and fail him and fall again tomorrow, I'm going to get up by the grace of God and go another mile and fight another round and preach another sermon. And it wasn't long till Peter got his heart right with God. And when we in John 21, just a few pages over in the book of Acts, you go read what the Bible said. I mean, it wasn't long at all. And it wasn't John the Beloved, the one who lay on Jesus' breast. It wasn't the disciple that Jesus loved. No, when God needed a preacher, he called on one that had failed the Lord. He called on one that had fallen, but that was willing to get up and not quit. And it was that man, that broken man, that man that was deemed a failure, that God used to thunder and preach, and 3,000 souls were saved and added to the family of God. And I come by tonight to just tell you, you can get up, and there is hope. And I thank God for Peter. I mean it. When I read part of the Bible about people like Joseph, you can't find nothing that Joseph done wrong. I mean, he was a sinner, but I dare you, search the Scriptures. There's not a more Christ-like portrait and type of the Lord Jesus than Joseph. And I see men like that, and I look at myself, and I think, my goodness, I ain't got a chance. I know me. I know my flaws. I know my failures and how exponentially many they are. But when I see the life of Peter, I can identify. I can relate. And to know that Jesus sent for the disciples and said, oh, and tell Peter. Especially tell Peter, I still love him. I still want him.
I still have a work for him to do. I still got a pulpit for him to preach behind. I still have, hey listen, and Peter, if you read, and I'll get to this, but if you read the first part of Peter's life, everything you read, everything, a lot of what we just read, in the young, early life of Peter, he was cocky and prideful and boastful and arrogant, thought he knew it all. Get over there to 1st and 2nd, to those two little epistles, 1st and 2nd Peter, and you'll notice his tone has changed. And he said, where he once would pull a sword out and whack somebody's ear off, trying to chop their head off, now he's saying, if they hit you, just let them. Just be a Christian. Just love them. Yeah. You know what happened? Peter, because he didn't quit and he didn't stop and he didn't give up, God taught Peter some things. And God broke Peter down so he could build him up to use him. And it would be done with a heart of humility and not an air of arrogant pride. And God ain't done with you. You say, but you don't know how many people knows how bad I failed and it's got out. And my husband knows, or my wife knows, and my kids know. Listen to me. There ain't nothing, nothing, nothing that Jesus can't forgive and fix and restore. Amen. Nothing. There is nothing too hard. There's nothing impossible. I'm full of failures and flaws, but you are looking at a walking, talking miracle. Not because I'm good, but because He's good. And because I simply never quit. I've fallen so many times, my knees were bloody and calloused. I'd failed so many times. But by the grace of God, I would reach my hand up and say, save me. And He would pull me up again and again and again and lift me and set my feet back up and give me a push and carry me when I couldn't even walk. That's the God I serve, and that's the God you serve, and He loves you.
Thank God.
And ain't nothing hell and the devil in this world can do about it if you will just not quit. Don't give up, don't give up, don't give out. And listen, don't quit on your husband. Don't quit on your wife. Don't quit on your children. Don't quit on your church. Everything may not be hunky-dory. Everything may not be just right. But hey, don't quit. Just keep going. Keep going.
Amen.
Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And I promise you, just like Peter, your best days are still ahead of you. Let's stand together. Father, in Jesus' name, we love you. We bless your name, Lord, for the goodness of God. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you didn't hide men like Peter. Thank you, Lord, that you was willing to be honest, Lord, and transparent, God, and let us see, oh God, that the best of men are men at best. And God, that we've all failed you. And Lord, we all flawed. Lord, I pray you'd nudge and tug at people's hearts and just reveal how good you've been to us, Lord. Help us get around this altar, Lord, and just say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, that failure is not final with you. Thank you, oh God. Lord, there's some in here, Lord, tonight that needs to face their failure. Been hiding it, covering it, trying to live like it wasn't there. And it's time to just face your failure. Peter, listen to me. Peter denied the Lord three times. You'll read later on. Before he could ever get forgiveness, before he could ever get right, Jesus said, Simon, lovest thou me? Peter said, Lord, you know I love you. He said, feed me. Simon, lovest thou me? And then that third time, it hit Peter like a ton of bricks. Simon, lovest thou me? You know what Jesus was doing? You know why Jesus asked three times? He was making Peter face his failure. so that he could get, until you face it, you'll never get over it. Until you face your failure and agree with God about it, you'll never get forgiveness. Come clean with the Lord. He's the only hope and help you have. And I promise you, it'll be the best day of your life. Do business with the Lord. If you're glad and thankful that you serve a God like that, you ought to thank Him. You ought to praise Him.
I repeat.
Lord, in Jesus' name, touch Him.
For moments I have spent recalling all the pain and failures of my past. I repent for dwelling on the things beyond my power to change, the chains that held me fast. I will go. I will.